Well, hello, good afternoon, everyone. And thank you all for joining us today. My name is Vivek Murthy. I've had the privilege of serving as Surgeon General of the United States. And I want to tell you, I came to medicine and to this job drawing from my inspiration in a very small clinic in Miami, Florida. It was a clinic that my mother and father ran then and continue to run to this day. And as I sat in that clinic after school and on weekends, greeting patients and watching my parents at work, I came to learn what was really happening in the process of healing. It wasn't just the diagnoses made or prescriptions written that were helping people. It was the relationships that my parents were building and the relationships they were very intentionally building with people. These relationships help people feel seen and understood. It helped them know that they, in fact, mattered. And as individuals who had grown up in a society steeped in class and caste discrimination, my parents were no stranger to the profound harms that arise when some people are systematically deprived of opportunity, health, and their dignity. Now, without ever uttering the word equity, my mother and father were the first ones to teach me, through their power of example, that the pursuit of equity is a sacred commitment that we make to one another. Now, today I see that spirit reflected in the work of millions of dedicated health workers all across our country. Thanks to them, we have taken steps forward to close the health equity gap in America. The COVID pandemic has served as a powerful reminder that the health burdens in our society continue to disproportionately fall on the economically disadvantaged and on people of color. Yet for all the darkness that we have experienced during this pandemic, the light of a new dawn is on the horizon. Today, 79% of Black adults, 80% of white adults, and 85% of Hispanic adults have reported getting vaccinated. These data tell the story of what is possible when you begin with equity in mind. And there are more reasons to be hopeful. Millions of people getting vaccinated each week. A vaccine now available for children 5 through 11, and booster shots just recently being made available to all adults. We cannot waver in our commitment to equitably vaccinating children and equitably boosting all adults. We must remain vigilant as winter arrives and cases rise. But the progress that we have made gives us reason to believe that we can and will finish the job together. The focus on a response grounded in equity, this has been at the center of President Biden and Vice President Harris's approach to COVID-19 from day one. They directed the work of the president's COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force, an idea born in a Senate bill authored last year by Vice President Harris. They supported the development of the COVID-19 Community Corps, an initiative I was privileged to help the vice president launch back in April, and one that has grown to more than 16,000 trusted community educators. They are why we have made unprecedented investments, billions of dollars, in equity-focused programs and initiatives over the past 10 months, including $785 million in the American Rescue Plan funding awarded just last week to continue keeping equity centered in our COVID-19 response. That new funding builds on $2.25 billion in grants for public health departments to promote health equity, and $6 billion to support community health centers who are administering 3 out of every 4 of their vaccines to underserved communities of color. With every new phase of the response and recovery, we need to bring that same spirit and that same commitment to equity. I'll never forget that its ultimate success will be owed to the healthcare and public health workers across the country, who have showed up with competency and compassion day after day. After the last 22 months, where they experienced burnout, loss, trauma, and attacks, we must never forget as a nation that we have a critical responsibility to take care of those who have taken care of us. We owe them a debt of gratitude. On a personal note, to be able to serve during this historic effort is a singular honor. To be able to do so under the leadership of the first Black and first Indian American Vice President of the United States, that is a privilege I will never forget. Vice President Harris has been a tireless champion for equity because she knows, as my parents knew, that this cause is about more than numbers on a chart. It's about the fundamental promise of America to create a more just, more equitable society for all. It's now my honor to welcome and bring to the stage a great partner and friend in that effort, our Associate Administrator for Health Workforce at the Health Resources and Services Administration, and the Director of the National Health Services Corps, Dr. Luis Padilla.
Thank you. Thank you for that kind introduction, Mr. Surgeon General, and thank you all for being here. I was fortunate to receive a National Service Corps scholarship when I was a medical student in 1998. And as a first-generation American, it afforded me and my family the financial support to complete my medical education and connected me with Unity Healthcare, a community health center here in Washington, D.C. I completed my three-year service obligation at Unity, and like 85% of National Service Corps providers, chose to stay there for many years as a physician and later as the medical director for my site. For me, and more than 66,000 clinicians who have served since 1972, the National Service Corps was life-changing. This is particularly true for clinicians of color and those from underserved communities who otherwise may not be able to become primary care doctors, nurses, dentists, and behavioral health providers, despite having a calling to care for those most in need. Without the burden of educational debt, they choose career paths that allow them to focus on the needs of the communities they serve. And because of these programs, they can help ensure that patients in these underserved communities see themselves in the clinicians who care and provide them care. These clinicians serve at healthcare sites like Unity and Mary Center here in DC, where my wife, Dr. Karen Mazie, a pediatrician and a former National Service Corps scholar, and more than 10,000 sites in every state. And at the Human Resources and Services Administration, I now lead the National Service Corps and work with talented, dedicated professionals who support the same mission to improve health equity and address health disparities in rural and underserved communities. It's a privilege to be part of an agency that not only supports programs like these, the National Service Corps and Nurse Corps, but also is educating and training health professionals, providing care to more than 30 Americans through community health centers, helping to end the HIV/AIDS epidemic, directly supporting providers during the pandemic through the Provider Relief Fund, and improving the health and well-being of mothers and children. For decades, our programs have directly addressed the ongoing gaps in health equity and health workforce diversity. They've supported frontline heroes who are caring for patients in the heart of our communities, hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. They are key pillars of this administration's commitment to health equity, an issue that I know the Vice President has been focused on for years. And while in the Senate, she introduced legislation that became a blueprint for the Presidential COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force, a task force that has recognized the importance of a diverse, representative, high-quality healthcare workforce. And with that, it is my honor to introduce the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Before I begin with the topic of this discussion, I want to say a word about the tragedy that occurred last night in Wisconsin. The President and I are monitoring the situation closely. We do not yet have all the details, but we do know that there are five families who have lost loved ones. We know that at least 40 people have been injured. And we know that that entire community is grieving. The horrific act of violence that occurred last night is heartbreaking. To those families who lost a loved one, to the first responders, to the community, please know that we are praying for you and that we stand with you. With that, I want to also thank Dr. Luis Padilla for your kind introduction and for the commitment that you have displayed throughout your career to this very important work. And of course, it is always an honor to join Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. Dr. Murthy, as I hope I tell you often enough, we are so thankful for your skill, for your determination, and for your commitment. You have worked tirelessly in the fight against COVID-19, and on behalf of our nation, I want to thank you, Vivek. So it has been nearly 2 years since the pandemic began. In so many ways, our nation has been tested. Our nation's resilience has been tested, and so has our persistence. Our nation's ingenuity has been tested, and so has our commitment to equity. So I will focus today on our collective commitment to equity. Here's the truth. COVID-19 did not invent health disparities. Just ask any healthcare professional, and she will tell you. Health disparities existed long before this virus reached our shores. Health disparities stem from broader systemic inequities. What COVID-19 has done is expose these disparities, and it has exacerbated these disparities. When President Joe Biden and I took office, we knew that Black communities, Brown communities, Native communities, rural communities were hardest hit by COVID-19. So when we went to work, we did it with haste to get our nation and everyone in our nation vaccinated. And we pushed ourselves along the way to do everything we could to reach the hardest hit communities. We set up mass vaccination sites. We sent out mobile vaccination units to communities that were the hardest hit and often found it very difficult to get to the centers of activity. Communities with the highest risk were a priority. We got vaccines directly to hundreds of community health centers. In fact, 3 in 4 vaccine doses that have been administered at community health centers have been administered to people of color. And we called on our entire nation, join us in our effort to close the gaps in vaccination rates as what we must do to close these gaps, period. So employers offered paid time off. Childcare providers offered drop-in services. Public transit agencies offered free rides to vaccination sites. Churches and barbershops opened their doors to become vaccination sites. And as a result of all of that work, today, as Dr. Murthy and Dr. Padilla have discussed, as a result of all that work, today we have effectively closed the gap in vaccination rates among Black and Brown adults. Now, to be sure, there is still work to do to end this pandemic. And right now, we are especially focused on getting our children over the age of 5 vaccinated. What we have done shows us what is possible when we focus on equity. Over the last 10 months, our COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force has been collecting information in order to provide recommendations that will continue to guide our health equity work. This task force is something, as has been mentioned, that I envisioned when I served in the United States Senate, and its creation was one of the first actions that our administration took. The President and I asked members of our task force to advise us not just on COVID-19 disparities, but on how we get at the root of all the disparities in the healthcare system that we face. And earlier this month, in their final report, the task force laid out clear priorities for our administration and for our nation. Here's but one of those priorities. Our nation must invest in a healthcare workforce that looks like America, and provide access to equitable health care for all Americans. So today I am proud to announce, thanks to our American Rescue Plan, we will invest $1.5 billion to help us do just that. With these funds, we will invest in our National Health Service Corps and our Nurse Corps. Together, these health care professionals serve more than 23 million patients in our nation. We will also invest in our substance use disorder treatment and recovery program. Our administration's goal here is to address the urgent shortage of doctors, nurses, and behavioral health providers in both urban and rural areas. Through scholarships and loan repayment, we will support over 22,000 providers. 22,000 providers. A record number of skilled professionals committed to serving in underserved communities. And these professionals will look like America and be better prepared to provide equitable care to America. In addition, in the days ahead, it is our hope and intention and expectation that Congress will build on this work by passing our Build Back Better Act. That legislation will build on our priority to address health disparities. It will reduce health care premiums for 9 million Americans and close the Medicaid coverage gap. It will also make an historic investment in maternal health in order to address the tragedy of Black maternal mortality in America. Again, there's more work to be done, but I believe we are headed in the right direction. So I will end for now with this. Throughout this pandemic, we have indeed been tested. And in so many ways, in the face of these challenges, our nation has demonstrated who we are as a nation. Even in difficult times, especially in difficult times, we remain undaunted. We remain undeterred. We remain determined to build a better future. We have an opportunity now to advance health equity. It is up to all of us to seize on that opportunity. Thank you all. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Thank you.
Vice President Harris, why is Jay Powell the right pick to lead the Fed? Should America